We are talking with Mr. and Mrs. George Nelson of Stockholm.
Mrs. Nelson, would you tell us, were you born in Stockholm?
No, I was born over in Canada, about 20 miles below Woodstock, at a town called Milford.
How did you happen to come to Stockholm?
Well, my mother and father came to Stockholm. They came when the railroad went north from Karibu. And then, just before I was born, my mother went back to Canada because the nearest doctor was in Karibu. And then she came back I wasn't a year old when she came back. I guess I was about 4 or 5 months when she came back over here.
So you grew up here in Stockholm?
Yes, right.
And Mr. Nelson, were you born in Stockholm?
I was born in Sweden.
Well, your parents were from the old country?
They were Swedish.
What, do you know when they came?
During the First World War, and after he came back to see his folks, his mother died just before he went into service. And then his father bought his house here and moved to Stockholm. So that's how I met him.
And you were married and lived all your lives down here in Stockholm?
Right.
You are part of a segment of Stockholm that they don't speak much about, the English people. You said they all came with the railroads. About how many families might there have been?
Well, oh, there must have been. You see, there was the early ones. Well, there was my grandfather and my two uncles came, and my father. And then there was this station agent, Tompkins. Then there was a Fred Gaines. He was the first section foreman here. And then he wasn't here very long. And my uncle, James Crawford, became a section foreman. And of course, after that, there was a lot of these people. But most of them lived on the station street. There was... Louis Johnson's, and then the Harry Dixon's. Of course, these all came afterwards, perhaps 12 years afterwards.
When did the railroad come through?
Well, I think about 1898, was it?
Yeah,
just so. I think so. I wouldn't say for sure, but I think
And that's when your family first came.
Yes.
A lot of these English names are still around Stockholm now.
Yes. Well, some of them, but there are not too many left here.
No.
People. The Dixons.
Yes.
Very few.
Mm-hmm. Very few.
And
of course, the Dixons. Well, you see, it's the...
The railroad people, I mean.
The Gessner, yeah. Well, there's two of the Gessner families still here. Yes.
Well, now, when you were growing up, your father worked for the railroad.
Yeah.
And you were, I was going to say, did your mother work? How large your family?
We were five. Well, you went half eight. No, we were six. I had six of them.
But now, it was your mother who ran the boarding house?
Yes.
Now, where was the boarding house?
Well, it was right on the river there, and the long lumber mill was right below the boarding house. And then there was the company store that burned. Do you remember that? You mentioned
it. I don't. No, I don't remember.
Well, that burned about two or three years ago. And
it was a potato house.
It's a potato house.
It was a potato house, and then it burned. Mm-hmm. And the boarding house was right across from the Hopelines. Mason. The potato house.
Now it was the potato house.
Yeah.
But at one time, that was really quite a...
First my mother kept boarders up in that, that house just up along Lake Street. Louis Anderson built that building, and she kept boarders there.
Did she have very many at that time?
Well, she had 65 there at one time.
Oh, my.
And they roomed up in Louis Anderson's house, because it sits, you know, up just above Wolverine's there. Well, that's where they roomed. And then they built the boarding house, and so then she took that over.
How many in the boarding house? Did you tell me how many it was?
Well, 1 year there, they brought a crew up from Island Falls and had a night shift working there. This long lumber mill, the Stockholm Lumber Company, was one of the largest mills on the East Coast, and they had a night shift on, and there was about 165 workers, I think.
How much help would she need to have?
Well, she had that year, she had a man cook that helped her. A man came in and helped her. And besides that, they had three girls that done the chamber work, and she was living on.
That she and this cook did all the cooking?
Right.
Bart did all the buying. Now, the buying must have been a... Did you work in it yourself?
I wasn't old enough then to work there. You know, I was not schooling, you know, just early years. But later on, after I got older, I
was a little bit.
Well, she must have been to have taken care of that. I'm sure they fed very well.
Always.
Yeah. Do you remember how much it cost them?
I haven't any idea.
And what anyone can
I can remember that the boarders paid $2 a week for their board.
$3?
$3 a week for their board. But you know, Doreen, that was, according to the wages they got then.
I suppose. It seems like so little.
I know it when you say $3 a week.
And she also gave them their room.
Oh, yes. And then they had a building that they took over. There was Roland and Laversi used to live there in this red house behind the company store. You remember that? Well, they took that over, and the men roomed over there, too. They put beds in there, and the men slept over there, too.
Back to the cooking end of it. It seemed you must have had to start cooking for one meal as soon as you cleared up for lunch.
And besides that, she used to have the railroad crews in the summertime. You know, the work crews used to come there. And sometimes she'd have between 25 and 30 of them.
More than that.
And then put up lunches for them at night.
1921, the latest deal from the Cape to Lebiona was worth for the section, and Dave Grant was the foreman at that time. And she put up quarter lunches.
Right. Did Stockholm have any hotels?
Oh, yes. There was the Mel Hotel. And then Mrs. Wessel used to take in there. And Mrs. Wessel used to give meals too. She didn't room them, but she.
They say hotel. What would be the difference between a boarding house and a hotel?
Well, I don't know.
There really wasn't much difference.
No, just a name, I guess.
Well, the hotel was just more up to date.
Well, maybe yes.
Well,
they catered mostly to transients, you know.
Yes, so these were the workers.
Yes, and a lot of travel people. They always traveled up and down.
And then besides that, there was other boarding houses. There was the McGuire's and boarding house up on the hill there.
Could you remember even a sample of what they might have had in the day's menu?
Oh, I can't remember.
What would they give them for breakfast, for instance?
Oh, my goodness, Mother used to have meatballs for breakfast. Half beans some mornings. Real hearty food.
Yes.
They were all hard workers this morning.
Yes.
Well, they didn't have probably a lunch. They probably had really two
meals. A dinner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
We did it, huh?
They were happy.
Well, now, George, you, when did you come to Stockholm?
I came to Stockholm in 1918. Yeah, my father moved here in 1970, but I went to the service in 1980.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you serve?
Just 4 months, that was all. Last week.
What effect was you were young? Maybe you wouldn't remember the effect that World War I had on Stockholm. Did it have any great effect?
Well, I was 22 years old.
Well, yeah, but that's young.
I don't know.
Is there any noticeable effect, you think, on the town?
I don't know of any noticeable effect of the war, but it was the influenza epidemic. I think that had the biggest effect on Stockholm.
When was that?
That was in the fall.
1918.
Yes, fall of the...
I had to know it, sure.
Yeah, I think that had... So many women died in Stockholm.
Any idea what there are any figures on how many Stockholm lost in an epidemic?
I don't think so. I don't know. Is any figures kept in mind?
There was no men folks died in
the room. Oh yes, one of our boys found it was a woman. Was there any doctor here then?
Well, the state sent up a doctor from Petrograd in Bangor. The state sent him up here. I don't think he was here more than 2 weeks there. That was no doctor he had. Of course, then the doctors would go out, you know, on a house call. And they did come up from terrible, Dr. Harmon.
There wasn't another doctor here at that time. Because when Evelyn was born, there was a doctor living in town here. I know that. My father hauled him up to all the time.
But during the influenza epidemic, they just had the one that they sent out, which took care of everyone who was sick?
Well, they didn't have enough dogs to go around.
No.
They
could just bear him for 2 weeks, they said, and that's what he came up here for.
And the rest of the nursing people, the healthy ones, had to go up there? For people who were ill, were they just kept in their own homes?
That's right.
Well, I watched it, they had a big barracks, there was 80 of us in barracks. One doctor and two carpets. That's all there was to take care of us.
You had it?
Oh, yes, I had it. I don't know about it. A couple of weeks in the winter.
Really?
Right out.
That was
well, you were sick with that stuff. Yeah. You were really sick.
That was really Well, then when you came back after the war, you came back to Stockholm. Were you married then? When were you married?
Oh, my God.
1924. And brought your family up here. And how many children did you have?
Seven.
And your children all grew up here, went to school here.
Right.
Which school would they have gone to? Or different ones?
Well, the boys, the two older boys, they went to Carroll High School after they finished. We used to have two-year high school here. And then after they finished high school, we really went to Carroll. And then our oldest daughter, she went down to Old Town State, my sister went to school down there. And then Edith and Wanda, they went to Richmond. And then Neil and Dana went to Richmond.
But they all had their grade school.
Right. Yeah.
Do you remember any teachers? Was there anyone who was here for a long time?
Ethel Wilson, she was here for a long time. Yes. And Ellen Pearson was our first high school teacher when they first started the high school. And
do you have any idea what they might have gotten for salary in those days?
This is my
latter. Yes.
The Hicks from Sweden taught here.
And then, of course, among the earlier teachers, 1915, there was Margaret Mahaney. She was from Easton.
Did any of them stay very long with these young people fresh out of school?
Well, some of them did. Now, Minor Walter from Terrible, she taught out there for a number of years. And then there was an Ethel Thomas. She was a daughter of Dr. Thomas. She taught here for a number of years.
Well, now, at one time, Stockholm was really quite a thriving place, wasn't it?
I think perhaps from the 1920s, 1920 on, for a few years, I think that perhaps was when Stockholm was at its peak.
And that was because of the mills.
That's right.
Ruskin taught school in 1940.
Yes.
Did you ever work in the mill?
No, we just repair work.
Yeah. You were a carpenter.
Yeah.
Where did you learn your trade?
Well, I'll tell you, with a home on the farm, we built a home the other night. All by ourselves, that's where I started in. And I guess it's right in my blood anyway. So I come up here and I started to do that. And carpenter work, and that's what I've been doing.
Are there many places around town that you build?
Mostly Prescott. You
work in Prescott. I know that.
You've got to see it
for 6 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you've got to see it for store and the high school and so many different buildings now. And so we started every one of the boys out with them. They went to work with him when they got to be 16. He took them with him. Taught them how to do carpenter work.
Now that.
But then none of them became carpenters.
Well,
but they know how to do it.
They
do their own homes, whatever they want done, they do their own homes.
This fellow right here, he's a cracker. No carpenter, he's right in the blood. He's into that board.
But he's not a carpenter.
Oh.
He works at soil conservation.
I tell you, I never did care for him, unfortunately, to be a carpenter.
Really? You wouldn't
mind? No. It's better if you send a kid to school, high school and college, I don't see what you're going to have.
That's right.
Well, Hazen, the oldest one, is an engineer for Stone Webster in Boston. And just recently he got a patent on something. It's been pending since 1969. Just got it here about a month ago.
Oh.
He sent us up a copy of it. He's in this desalting of the seawater. Now they're going to build a big plant in Formosa. And he's working on that now on the blueprint spec. That's
good.
Yes, he's done.
Academy. And
yeah, and the
college of university that made it 4 years.
Back to the mill. Now, I know when the mill moved out, it was about the time of the Depression. And that must have been an awful blow in South Carolina.
Well, I think it was.
I'll never get over it.
No, that. And I tell you, they had so many people that stayed here, you know. A lot of them went home with the mill, but there was a number stayed here. And of course, you know how it is, they didn't have any means of living, and of course the town had to take care of them. But then they got a town manager in here, and he got them to work, and they didn't like that, so a lot of them moved away then.
But at that time, it was so bad.
They were.
There was no money to help these people.
No, that's it. You couldn't buy a job.
We were poor, so was your father, but I know very well we never had the town helping you. Of course, I know that. We're fat.
We were all in the same boat.
I guess if we hadn't been a stop and sleep, no doubt we would have had something. But we just didn't stand for that. That was it.
That's true. That is. Well, you know, in the when Mr. Thomas handpicked his weeds to come over, that was one of the qualities he was looking for. Hard working and industrial. And it's true.
But sometimes it doesn't pay to be stuck.
Well, I don't know. You had to swallow your pride.
Well, yeah, it was a question of pride.
Do you remember when the fire tower was built?
1920.
And what, they used that as a lookout? Just for forest fires?
Yes, and as it said in the book there, very depression, they used it for, they manned it day and night for the air raid. Is that what it said in the book? Yeah, I remember that too.
Were there, did Stockholm have any bad fires?
Yes. You mean forest fire?
Well, either kind.
Well, yes, up for the rock cut up here. Every spring we had a forest fire up there.
Forest fire, bad ones. Every year.
Yes, and every year.
Was
you can go up there now and look out over the hills, and you can just see spots where the fire had gone through.
You know, one Sunday, where it was a real hot day, I can't remember how far, but 27, 28, there was a fire that started up to what is called a rock cut. It came down to the window, it was the dark wind that was coming down through down here. Then we all round up a bunch of men and horses and barrels and everything and all water from the river and up there to stay in our houses. It was a close call that time.
Yes,
and then the fire department from Carroll came up to, but they were scared of the mill.
How many miles or square miles or might it have burned? Couldn't put a figure on it. Was it because the woods were so dry?
That's right.
That's early in the spring.
Of course, we had fires after that, quite a few, but they had that equipment now. The spray that we used to have.
They used the air spray to spray the ground.
Oh, the hose
hoses. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They go over the lake and draw the water up from the lake, and then they pour them.
Well, at that time, did Stauffer have his own fire truck or fire fighting equipment?
No.
Well, it depends on the mill.
When the Stauffer Lumber Company was in business down here, they had hydrants all over town. Fire hydrants all over town.
Which is more than you have now.
That's right.
You have it now. The pipe that went across the river when we built the bridge that time. When we were digging the foundation, we were running into one of those great big 8-inch pipe, cast iron pipe.
Do you remember when Stockholm started its fire department? Or brought the first truck? For quite a while?
Not too long ago. I would say 10 years.
Tell me about some of the stores that Stockholm used to have in its heyday.
Well, the earlier stores was on Station Street and on Lake Street. And of course, the first store was the Anderson brothers, Lewis and John.
There was a grocery
store. And they were together. And then Lewis went, Lewis and John went.
John went away, come over here.
Yeah, John came over here and built the store down here. And Lewis stayed over there and started a hardware store. And then, I guess he had groceries too. And Lewis started a store down there. And then up on Station Street, there was this Peter Carlston building there. And he had a pool room there for a while, and then Matt Klein had a men's clothing store. And upstairs was a restaurant. And at first, that was Sam Coates. He was what had the restaurant. But before the restaurant, it was a hall where they used to have, not silent movies, but just show slides. I can remember going there when I was a little girl, and it was just slides. We went there, and they played the piano and sang, you know. Then one time they advertised that they were going to have a moving picture. And of course, that was a feature of the night. So they had a big crowd that night. And the moving picture was a side of each hanging in a window, a store window. We just swung back and forth for about 5 minutes. And that was my first moving picture. And of course, all these shows, you know, the visit to mill towns, they would come here. I remember the glass blowers came here. And then one year there was a big tent show came here, and they had a tent right down below with Anderson's store there. And they had a merry-go-round. And
did you ever have what they used to call a Chautauqua?
Yes. We had the Chautauqua came here for a few years.
Do you remember what that was like?
Well, yes, there was a dispute down here. They had their tent. They put a tent up here. And they had it down the field here. And they had just music. It was nice music. And that was the first time that I ever saw anyone play on the saw. You know how they play on these saws, you know? I can remember that. And it was very good.
Did they draw a large crowd?
Yes, yes, they did.
Now, something traveling around like that was a very expensive year, remember? I know you had movies here.
Yes.
And twice a week?
Well, the first movies we had here was these fellows from Prescott came up here. Lowell and Schultz. They came up here and had movie pictures. And they had them up over, there was a hall that belonged to the company, and the company store was in it down there. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Right down just above the mill down there was this building. And they had their grocery store down below, and they had the...
That was more or less what comes to store, anyway.
What was company store. And then upstairs, they had the movie picture hall. And they used to have dances there, too.
Yeah,
and,
you had to remember them places where you used to go dance. They were
all
back
and forth. And the floor was right up and down, just like us, you know. And then afterwards, I guess... Albert Clinton, was that his name? Was it Albert?
Okay.
He took the movie pictures for a while. And then Paul Searon for a while. And then the mill company, after the mill went out of here, after the Stockholm Lumber Company went out of here, they bought the Stockholm Lumber Company store.
What else did you do for entertainment? Back, say, when your children were small, or when you or yourselves were growing up.
That's what all there was to talk about, was the movies and the dances.
Did you have a lot of dance?
Yes, we did. We danced about every Saturday night. And then when they weren't dancing there, they were dancing over in the boarding house. There was two McAfee brothers, and they were real musical, you know. They played the mandolin and the banjo, crowd would come over there and they'd push the dining room tables back and dance.
When you had a dance, a public dance, did you have an orchestra?
Oh no, just the McAfee boys.
What they played for instruments?
Mandolin and banjo, wasn't it?
They were good.
They were really good.
But dance was music, because them days we danced. Now they don't dance the more. No. They walk around and jump on the thing. Them days we danced.
Roger was telling about that, I think it was on Station Street where they were dancing. Tell about that, will you? That was kind of Bob's like, you know?
Well, the first year that this Peter Calston started his store over here, he didn't get it finished, he just got the floor laid. And so the McGuire's, they had a boarding house up here on the hill, and they had an organ, a small organ. And they had four daughters, and of course the boys like the McGuire girls. So in the summer evenings, they'd carry that organ down and put it on the platform down there, and they would dance, and Nat McGuire, she could play the organ, but the boys, they had to stand beside her and fan her with a heat black flies away.
I don't know, did we finish on the store? She said there was one clothing store, that was...
Yes, that was Nat climbing out of the pizza. And then later on, when they built this new Oddfellows Hall down here, Irvin Howe had a clothing store there on one end of it. And
the bowling alley
in the bottom. In the bowling alley downstairs. And then, of course, Albert had his.
That's where they had the real dance pool there.
Yes,
that was
hall
nice hall.
Yeah, I remember that. One store is off it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it because it wasn't being used?
Yes.
The roof had all gone on it and it was repaired.
No dances now? What do the young people do now?
Well, the young people now used to have cars and they can go almost anywhere. In those days, we didn't have those things to do with.
where we
stayed
all,
in Stockholm.
We all stayed together.
Now we were here everywhere.
You either walked or horse and buggy?
No, we had cars after a while, but we didn't go too far.
Yeah. Do you remember, George, the first car you ever had?
Yes.
What was it?
Overland.
What?
1917. We paid $420 for it, and it was all licensed and everything.
And they hauled in one load of tares,
huh?
One load of tares paid for that car.
The tares was $12 a barrel then. 1917, the war, the First World War.
How long did you keep the car?
Well, I kept it here. It was 22, I guess.
Yes, you had it after you left the service. You didn't have to remember it, did you?
No, I had to do it.
Do you remember the first car in Stockholm, or the first car that you remember?
Mama,
I remember that. Yes, I remember it. It belonged to Carl Milliken. You know Carl Milliken was governor of the state? Mm-hmm. Well, his uncle was Mel Milliken. He was sort of the supervisor for the mill down there. He bought it from him. And Wallace Fuller was his chauffeur. And it was a great big arc. And it had just seven passengers. Those little seats, you know, on the side. And I think perhaps that might have been the first car in Stockholm.
What kind of car was that?
I think it was a real.
It wasn't a gasoline car.